The following is a class on the Srimad Bhagavatam. First Canto, Chapter Number 2, Text Number 3. Given by His Grace, Sriman Sankarshan Dasadhikari. Recorded on September 16th, 2010, in Sofia, Bulgaria.
So today we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, First Canto, Chapter Number 2, Text Number 3. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Yasvanubhavam akila shruti saramekam. Adhyatma deepam atiti tirshatam tamondham. Sangsarinam karunayaha purana guhyam. Chang vyasa suna mupayami guru muninam. Yasvanu bhava makila shruti saramekam. Adhyatma deepa metatiti shirta. Yadatma deepa metatiti. Adhyatma deepam atiti tirshatam tamondam. Sangsarinam karunayaha purana guhyam. Tang vyasa sunam upayami gurung muninam. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. Let me offer Sri Sri Gornitai Ki Jai Jagannath Baladev Subhadra Sadbuj Ki Jai. Let me offer my respectful obeisances unto Him, Shuka, the spiritual master of all sages, the son of Vyasadev, who out of His great compassion for those gross materialists who struggled to cross over the darkest regions of material existence, spoke this most confidential supplement to the cream of Vedic knowledge after having personally assimilated it by experience. Purport. In this prayer, Srila Sutta Goswami practically summarizes the complete introduction of Srimad Bhagavatam. Srimad Bhagavatam is the natural supplementary commentary on the Vedanta Sutras. The Vedanta Sutras, or the Brahma Sutras, were compiled by Vyasadeva with a view to presenting just the cream of Vedic knowledge. Srimad Bhagavatam is the natural commentary on this cream. Srila Sukadeva Goswami was a thoroughly realized master on the Vedanta Sutra. And consequently, he also personally realized the commentary, Srimad Bhagavatam. And just to show His causeless mercy upon bewildered materialistic men who want to cross completely over nescience, He recited for the first time this confidential knowledge. There is no point in arguing that a materialistic man can be happy. No materialistic creature, be he the great Brahma or an insignificant ant, can be happy. Everyone tries to make a permanent plan for happiness, but everyone is baffled by the laws of material nature. Therefore, the materialistic world is called the darkest region of God's creation. Yet the unhappy materialists can get out of it simply by desiring to get out. Unfortunately, they are so foolish, they do not want to escape. Therefore, they are compared to the camel who relishes the thorny twigs, because he likes the taste of the twigs mixed with blood. He does not realize that it is his own blood, that his tongue is being cut with the thorns. Similarly, to the materialist, his own blood is as sweet as honey. And although he is always harassed by his own material creations, he does not wish to escape. Such materialists are called karmis. Out of hundreds and thousands of karmis, only a few may feel tired of material engagement and desire to get out of the labyrinth. Such intelligent persons are called jnanis. The Vedanta Sutra is directed to such jnanis. But Srila Vyasadeva, being the incarnation of the Supreme Lord, could foresee the misuse of the Vedanta Sutra by unscrupulous men, and therefore he personally supplemented the Vedanta Sutra with the Bhagavad Purana. It is clearly said that this Bhagavatam is the original commentary on the Brahma Sutras. Srila Vyasadeva also instructed the Bhagavatam to his own son, Srila Shukadeva Goswami, who was already at the liberated stage of transcendence. Srila Shukadeva personally realized it and then explained it. By the mercy of Srila Shukadeva, the Bhagavad Vedanta Sutra is available for all these sincere souls who want to get out of material existence. Srimad Bhagavatam is the one unrivaled commentary on the Vedanta Sutra. Sripad Shankaracharya intentionally did not touch it because he knew that the natural commentary would be difficult for him to surpass. He wrote his Sharirika Bhasha, and his so-called followers deprecated the Bhagavatam as some, quote, new, unquote, presentation. One should not be misled by such propaganda directed against the Bhagavatam by the Mayavad school. From this introductory shloka, the beginning student should know that Srimad Bhagavatam is the only transcendental literature meant for those who are paramahamsas and completely freed from the material disease called malice. The Mayavadis are envious of the personality of Godhead, despite Sripad Shankaracharya's admission that Narayan, the personality of Godhead, is above the material creation. The envious Mayavadi cannot have access to the Bhagavatam, but those who are really anxious to get out of this material existence may take shelter of this Bhagavatam because it is uttered by the liberated Srila Shukadeva Goswami. It is the transcendental torchlight by which one can see perfectly the transcendental absolute truth realized as Brahman, Paramatma, and Bhagavan. Mandeham Shri Guru Shri Jada Madakamalam Shri Guru Vaishnavamsha Shri Rupa Sagrajata Sagana Ragana Tanvita Tam Sajiva. Sadaitam Zavadutam Vrijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Deva Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakanvitamsha. So, it's very interesting to note here What is the position of Shukadev Goswami?
Много интересно да се отбележи тук каква е позицията на Shukadev Goswami.
It is stated that he assimilated the Srimad Bhagavatam by experience.
Тук се казва, че той усвоил Шримад Бхагаватам от личния си опит.
That is a very interesting concept.
И това е една много интересна идея, концепция.
Normally we would say, well, so and so heard the Srimad Bhagavatam.
Обикновено ние казваме, еди кой си е чул Бхагаватам.
In this way he learned the Srimad Bhagavatam.
И по този начин той е научил, усвоил Бхагаватам.
But instead of saying he learned it by hearing, it is saying he experienced it by assimilation.
Но тук се казва, че вместо да го е научил чрез слушане, той го е усвоил, че,
Or he assimilated it by experience. It's the same concept. So the question is there a difference between hearing and experiencing? In one sense, there is no difference. Because hearing is itself an experience. If you hear the Bhagavatam, you're experiencing the Bhagavatam. But there is also a difference. Just like there is Gyan and there is Vigyan. Gyan means you have heard the knowledge, you now know the knowledge because you heard it and you remembered it. But Vigyan means you have practically realized it. You are absorbed in practically living that knowledge. So we can understand that Shukadev Goswami was not a Gyani who simply theoretically knew the Bhagavatam. He was experiencing the Bhagavatam 24/7 because he lived the Bhagavatam. His thinking was Bhagavatam. His speaking was Bhagavatam. And his actions were all Bhagavatam. In other words, Shukadev Goswami was experiencing the Bhagavatam at every minute. He was living in the Bhagavatam. So, to say he assimilated it by experience is certainly true. But it's not that the assimilation process stopped. In other words, Bhagavatam is unending. The realization of Bhagavatam is not static. It is dynamic and ever-expanding. So one who is living the Bhagavatam by his thoughts, words, and deeds is assimilating it more and more and more as time goes by. So what does it mean, assimilated? It means he's absorbing it into his very being. It's becoming part of him, more and more part of him. So this is a very interesting concept, assimilated by experience.
Тази идея е много интересна, че той го усвоил с опит.
So the Vedic wisdom, it was summarized by Vyasadeva in the Vedanta Sutra. It's interesting to note here in Prabhupada's purport, sometimes he says Vedanta Sutra and sometimes he says Vedanta Sutras. So, which one is it? Is it Vedanta Sutra or is it Vedanta Sutras? The answer is it's both. The Vedanta Sutra, the work called Vedanta Sutra, is a collection of Vedanta Sutras. Each verse is a sutra, so the collection is Vedanta Sutras. And the Vedanta Sutras are collectively known as the Vedanta Sutra. So whether you say the Vedanta Sutras or you say the Vedanta Sutra, in either case you're correct. So after compiling the Vedanta Sutras, we've many times heard the story, Vyasadeva was feeling despondent. He was feeling incomplete, dissatisfied, morose. Why? Because he hadn't given exclusive glorification to Krishna. Krishna was mentioned. It's not that Krishna wasn't mentioned before the Bhagavatam. But Krishna was not mentioned as the exclusive personality of Godhead. And as Krishna points out in the Bhagavad Gita, text 22 of chapter 9, he has to be exclusively worshipped. Ананяшчантаянто мам єджана паріпасате тейшам нечебюктанам йогачеймам вахам яхам. That for those who worship me exclusively, preserve what they have and I carry what they lack.
Аз им запазвам това, което имат, и им давам това, което им достига.
So, if you really want to be connected with God,
ако наистина искате да бъдете свързани с Бога,
with Krishna,
с Кришна,
it's not that you can worship Him as just another one of the many different great personalities.
Вие не може да го обожавате като просто една от многото велики личности.
You have to worship Him as summum bonum.
Вие трябва да го обожавате като summum bonum.
The absolute personality of Godhead. Only then will you be satisfied. Ahaitakiya pratiyata yadmo supersediti. That unless one worships Krishna without motivation, without interruption, he cannot be happy. So any worship which is not exclusive Krishna worship will leave the worshipper dissatisfied. Therefore, Vyasadeva was naturally dissatisfied. And then, under the guidance of his spiritual master, Narada Muni, he compiled the Vedanta, as described here, an interesting term, the Bhagavat Vedanta Sutra. So that's the There's the Vedanta Sutra, and there's the Bhagavad Vedanta Sutra. It's another name for the Bhagavatam. So, by the compilation of the Bhagavatam or the Bhagavad Vedanta Sutra, exclusive glorification was given to Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead.
В него било дадено изключително възхвала на Шри Кришна, върховната божествена личност.
Vyasadev became satisfied.
И тогава Vyasadev бил удовлетворен.
And now, if we can seriously take advantage of this Bhagavad Vedanta Sutra,
и сега, ако ние сериозно се възползваме от тази Bhagavad Vedanta Sutra,
then we will become satisfied also.
Тогава и ние ще станем удовлетворени.
We become free of anxiety. Free of delusion, free of all the bad qualities. So therefore, we must take very, very seriously this message of Bhagavatam, as it's very aptly pointed out by Prabhupada in his purport here. That there is no happiness whatsoever in this material existence. Even though everyone is trying to make arrangement to be happy here, you cannot be happy here. It is not possible. You may think you have your happiness arranged. And now all my problems are solved. Now I can really be happy in this material world.
Сега всичките ми проблеми са разрешени и наистина мога да бъда щастлив в този свят.
But as soon as you think like that, immediately, boom, something comes in and disrupts your so-called happiness.
Но веднага, щом така си мислите, нещо идва и със щастието ви е свършено.
So you can't do it, you just can't be happier, it's not possible.
Така че не може да бъдете щастливи, просто не е възможно.
The only happiness is to get out of here.
Единственото щастие е да се измъкнете от тук.
Of course, even on the way out, you can be happy.
Разбира се, по самия път, вие също може да бъдете щастливи.
As the old saying goes, I'm out of here.
Както старата поговорка гласи, махам се от тук.
It's a saying in America, I'm out of here. I'm getting out of here.
Махам се от тук, обирам си крушите.
So even though one may still be in this place, if he's in the process of getting out, then that is also happiness.
С други думи, дори човек да е все още в това място, в процеса на измъкването, той пак се чувства щастлив.
It's like if someone has been in prison for 20 years.
Както някой, ако е бил в затвора за повече от 20
години. And they hated it. Every day was just miserable.
И всеки ден в затвора за тях е бил просто ужасен.
But then they got parole. The parole papers came through. You're being released this afternoon at 4:00.
Но идват и им съобщават, че днеска следобед в 4 часа ще бъдеш освободен.
Pack your bags, get ready to be released.
Събирай си багажа и се подготвяй да за.
He's still in the prison, you see.
Да се освободиш. Той още е в затвора.
But boy, is he feeling great. He's in bliss. Because at 4 o'clock he's getting up. Even though he's still a prisoner. He's got his release papers right there. You know, it's at 4 o'clock. They're coming, he's going to get up. So devotee is still in the prison, you see. He knows at 4 o'clock he's getting up. So he's feeling pretty good. Pretty damn good. Getting out here at 4 o'clock. Out of this miserable, nasty prison of material existence, you see. I'm getting out. I've got my release papers right here, you see. Got my Kanti Mala, my Japa Mala. I have my spiritual master. I have my tilak. Where's your tilak? You want out of the prison or not? If you want out of the prison, you must wear tilak.
Ако искаш да излезеш от затвора, трябва да носиш тилак.
Where is your tilak?
He put the water tilak because he had no
time. Going to work? Because you're going to work today?
No, I had no time this morning.
No, I had time, well.
But tomorrow I'll
put I mean, there's nobody, water tilak before we're going to work, but coming to Bhagavatam, you should put real tilak. Otherwise, Krishna may say, well, this one doesn't really want to get out yet. He feels like staying around another lifetime. And to show Krishna, yes, my Lord, I want out of here. So I can ask now if there's any questions. Ikshvaku Prabhu.
There are some persons who need not understand Bhagavatam to feel content or to feel pleasure.
There are. Where are they?
No, there. Like Srila Prabhupada was hearing, but he was not understanding. He's saying, I will understand or not understand, but I will hear.
No, that's not the meaning. Prabhupada fully understood the Bhagavatam. He says he, but understanding means he may not have understood the words that Guru Maharaj was speaking. He fully understood the Bhagavatam purport. But he couldn't understand the speech because the it was very high English. High level English. The materialistic Deminar cannot possibly stretch to the transcendental autocrat who is a forever invited. Do you have a little hard time following them? Prabhupada knew the Bhagavatam, but he couldn't understand the words of Guru Maharaj. That's the point. Prabhupada did understand the
Bhagavatam.
И това е въпросът. Каква е разликата между такива личности, които макар да не разбират думите, знаят Шримад Бхагаватам и други, които го слушат, но за тях трябва да има разбиране и на философския смисъл.
Иначе им е скучно.
Иначе им
So he is asking what is the difference between those kind of persons who know the Bhagavatam, they hear it, although they may not understand everything, and those persons who hear it and understand it, but because they lack the philosophical explanation or understanding, that it's kind of boring for them because there is no what is the
boring. Difference? They understand it, but it's boring for them.
They hear it, but it's boring for them.
They hear it, that means they don't really hear it. If somebody is bored by hearing the Bhagavatam, that means it's going in one ear and out the other. It's not going into their heart.
In other words,
if they're not really hearing it, they're just making a show of hearing it. It's not entering into their heart. If you're actually hearing the Bhagavatam, that means you're taking it into your heart. You're assimilating it.
Ако ти наистина слушаш Бхагаватам, това означава, че го приемаш в сърцето си и го усвояваш.
If one takes Bhagavatam deep within one's heart, then one becomes completely transformed.
Ако някой приеме Бхагаватам дълбоко в сърцето си, той напълно.
One becomes carried by the wings of the Bhagavatam back to the spiritual existence, the Paravyama.
Той напълно се трансформира и бива отнесен от крилете на Бхагаватам в духовното небе, в съществуване, Paravyama.
Did I answer your question?
Yes.
Completely, or you still have some questions?
Yes, completely.
All right, what is it?
He said yes completely.
Fully answered.
Fully yes.
Oh, good. He one simply has to. In other words, if you don't feel how you're being carried by the wings of the Bhagavatam to the spiritual sky, that means you're not properly hearing it.
Това означава, че ако ти не чувстваш как на крилета на Бхагаватам си отнесен в духовното небе, това означава, че не слушаш правилно.
Bhagavatam is an airplane.
Bhagavatam е като един самолет.
If you do not feel by hearing it that you're traveling to Goloka Vrindavan, that means you're not really hearing it properly.
Това означава, че ако ти не усещаш как той те отвежда в Голока Вриндаван, това означава, че не слушаш правилно.
That means your mind is like a monkey, running here, running there, running, jumping here, jumping there.
Това означава, че умът е като една маймуна, която скача тук, там, не може да се
сърдечи. That monkey mind, you see.
Това е маймунски ум, като една маймуна.
So you have to subdue the monkey.
Затова ти трябва да покориш, да овладееш тази маймуна.
The monkey mind.
Или ума, който е като
маймуна. Engage that mind in hearing about Krishna.
Да го ангажираш в слушане за Кришна.
Yato nishchalati manas chanchalam astaram tatastatam niyam yaitaratnam yuvasham niyat. From wherever the mind wanders, due to its flickering and unsteady nature, one must certainly withdraw it and bring it back under the control of the self.
Където и да скита ума поради своята колеблива и непостоянна природа, той трябва да бъде отдръпван и да бъде върнат под контрола на себето.
So if you bring your mind under control and fix it in hearing Bhagavatam, then you will assimilate the Bhagavatam and you'll experience transcendental bliss.
Така, ако ти покориш ума си и го накараш да слуша Бхагаватам, ти ще усвоиш Бхагаватам от своя опит и ще изпитваш блаженство.
Simply have to keep your mind under control and not let it run here and run there like a little donkey or a little monkey.
Просто трябва да контролираш ума и да не му позволяваш да ходи тук и там като малка маймуна или като магаре.
Is that all right?
Това добре ли?
Пандарик Виджанири Прабу.
Възможно с този въпрос. Каза, че когато Чатай Махапрабу за това Гадара Пан при Пандарика Виджанири, защото Гадара Пан си бил забравил Гадара Приман. Ми правя, че това много издигна Кришна. И там как, като е видял как живея на някакъв някакъв, че казал, Аз честно си признавам, че тия текстове са ми много скучни. В смисъл, те по-богове, който по-бог какво правят, са ми скучни на мен тия текстове. И не мога да разбера, примерно, къде трябва да съм главното блаженство в тия текстове. И очевидно, че трябва да спочи личност от Бхагавати. Ето сега в момента, ако може сам че напълно, мога ли как да изпочвам блаженство от тези текстове.
Може и на английски да го кажеш, аз да го повторя. За да не объркам, да не задам друг въпрос. Maybe because his question is too long, maybe he can say it in English and I can repeat it for you, so I don't mess the question.
Take it in one half.
No, he can say it in English and I can repeat it.
Ah, okay. Yeah, that's fine.
Because I may...
Yeah, that's fine. Do that.
Okay.
When Gadara wondered about the glory, about the actual glories of Pundarika Vidyanidhi.
There's this pastime when Gadara Pandit,
yeah,
he was in doubt. He was wondering about the glories of Pundarika Vidyanidhi.
So he heard one shloka from Srimad Bhagavatam.
He heard the shloka from Srimad Bhagavatam.
We heard this shloka, which is described that it's not very intimate pastime. It was just common shloka.
This shloka is described that it was not a some intimate pastime, but just a common shloka from Bhagavatam.
But he felt ecstatic.
But Pundarika Vidyanidhi, he became ecstatic.
I admit that in the second canto, for example, we read about this demigod giving such blessing, this demigod giving this boon or something, and I don't feel ecstatic.
And he admits that when he reads some shlokas, for example, from the second canto of Bhagavatam about the creation or the demigods, and he does not feel ecstatic when he reads these shlokas, verses.
So
what's the question?
So in order to get such a perspective so that we can feel ecstatic, we should associate with persons Bhagavata. Would Sankhya Prabhu help me to get ecstatic when reading this kind of shloka?
So in order to become ecstatic when reading these shlokas or reading Bhagavatam, we should associate with persons Bhagavatam. So he is asking you, would you help him to become ecstatic while
yes
shlokas?
I'll be happy to do that. You have to, by rendering, the key is by rendering service. That's described in this chapter. Shushu shoshodana sha vasudeva gataruchi sanmahatsevyapipa punyuktivtamasevana. By rendering service unto those devotees who are completely free from all vice, great service is done. By such service, one gains a taste for Vasudeva Gata. So the more you can serve devotees who are free from vice, that is how you will get the taste. In other words, not just by gyan, but there has to be practical service. You see how you can serve devotees who are free from vice. You have to see which devotees are free from all vice, and you have to serve them with great love. And in that way, you develop a great taste for this Vasudeva Gata.
Както се казва в тази глава, човек трябва да открие такива преодани, които са напълно освободени от всички пороци и да им отдава служене. И такова едно служене е велико благо и служайки на такива личности, човек развива склонността си да слуша за посланията на Васудев и да изпитва удоволствие от Васудева ката.
Just by intellectualism you'll never get the taste.
Просто с интелектуални упражнения човек никога не може да добие вкус.
So, just like Prabhupada's name is Bhakti Vedanta, it is knowledge of Vedanta combined with practical devotional service. Bhakti Vedanta, you see.
Както името на Шрила Прабхупада е Бхакти Веданта. Това означава Веданта, знание.
So, if you want to get a taste with the Bhagavad Vedanta Sutra, Bhagavad Vedanta, Bhagavatam, then you must engage in Bhakti. You must serve the great devotees, the pure devotees. You must serve them with love. And then you will get great taste. You will become so sweet and so relishable. You'll just be swimming in an ocean of bliss. Just to think about even one shloka, you'll be so ecstatic.
Ако искаш да добиеш този вкус и да плуваш в океан от блаженство, трябва да служиш на тези предано отдадени, практически да се ангажираш в служене и тогава дори като четеш тези шлоки, една така шлока, ти ще плуваш в океани от блаженство.
The Bhagavatam works. It tells you, serve devotees who are free from all vice. That's how you get the taste.
Bhagavatam работи. И там се казва, че ако служиш на преодани, които са свободни от всички пороци, това е начинът.
Very clear answer from the Bhagavatam directly.
Да получиш вкуса. Много ясен, директен отговор от Bhagavatam.
So now you have to do that.
И сега просто трябва да направиш това.
See how you can serve devotees who are free from all vice.
Да намериш начин да служиш на преданодани, които са освободени от всички пороци.
Is that right?
Това е доволно ли е така като отговор?
Okay, any other question? Yes, Premier Manjari.
Вчера се обясниха много неща за начина, по който ние сме изпаднали в духовния свят. И за това, че в в състояние на сън, нали, присъстваме тук, а нашата сварупа е горе в духовния свят, спящо състояние. Също знам, че в материалните ни тела има едно спящо духовно тяло, което ние трябва да събудим. Защото за да отворим духовните си очи, духовните си уши, нали, ние трябва да извършим определени духовни дейности. Това не е ли същата сварупа, която спи хора?
When we were discussing about the svarup, the spiritual body in the spiritual world yesterday or the other day, we were discussing
okay.
our original position.
Okay.
And we mentioned that our svarup is now dormant.
Yeah.
And she said it's in the spiritual world is dormant.
No.
Not in your sarup, well, your sarup is with you right now, with it's there in the compressed within the Atma.
Твоята сварупа е тук сега с тебе в твоята душа, в Атмата, спяща, не в духовния свят, че спяща. Мисля, това говоря ли?
Значи ние, извършвайки духовни дейности, тук ние просто
пробуждаме.
Помагаме на нашата духовна сварупа да израсне, за да можем да се пренесем просто в духовния
свят. So by performing spiritual activities, we help our svarup to grow.
Your svarup, the revival of your svarup.
Да, това е възраждането на твоята сварупа. Тя се възражда.
It's like in a seed-like state right now.
В момента тя е под формата на семе.
By doing bhakti, then your svarup will become manifest.
И като извършваш дейности в бхакти, твоята сварупа отново се проявява.
Any other question?
Yeah.
Във връзка с отговора на въпрос на по-далека видимини Прабу, искам да питам, тъй като е трудно да се даде какъв съвършен вайшнава, който да се отдава служене. Ако отдаваме служение на вайшнави, които може би не са напълно съвършени, не постигаме ли същия ефект?
Дали постигаме? In relation to the question of Pundarika Vidyanidhi Prabhu, since it's very difficult to find such an exalted Vaishnava to render service, if we render service to other Vaishnavas who are not that exalted, is still there some
any service to Vaishnavas will help one. But the more they are pure, the more you get benefit. But if you think about it, what is the mission of Srila
Prabhupada?
If you can serve Prabhupada's mission, then you're serving the purest of all devotees and getting the greatest benefit.
Ако ти служиш на мисията на Шрила Прабхупада, ти служиш на най-чистия от всички преодолени и получаваш най-голямото благо.
So if you clean the toilet, you're serving the mission of Prabhupada. You're serving Prabhupada and cleaning the toilet.
И ако почистваш тоалетната тук, ти служиш на мисията на Прабхупада, ти служиш директно на него.
So there is ample opportunity to serve the mission of Prabhupada. Go out and distribute books.
Има много възможности човек да служи.
Go on Harinam. Any service for Prabhupada's mission is direct service to Srila
Prabhupada.
And you get the benefit.
Of
serving a soul who is free from all vice. Any other questions? Pundarik Vidyanidhi.
Ако искаш, дай на части и ще пренежам.
Мисля, че ще бъде просто... Надявам се, че нали, интелигентността ми в Калиро, обаче си спомням, че ли от Санкришна Прабу или в друга случай Сахотра Махараш съм чувал, че Сварупата остава духовния свят, съзнанието ми се проектира в материалния свят в формата на атома.
He has heard that our Svarupa remains in the spiritual world and our consciousness is just projected in the form of Atma in the material world.
That's interesting. Where did you hear that?
Това е интересно. Къде го чу това? From Suhotra Maharaj. Suhotra Maharaj.
Yeah, I've never read that, but that I can remember.
Или поне не мога да си спомня.
I'd like to see that it's an interesting thing. Where is the Svarupa located?
Това е интересно. Къде точно е Сварупата разположена?
The Svarupa, the reason I would say that it's in the Atma is this.
Причината, която аз казвам, че се намира в Атмата, е Сварупа.
The Svarupa is the actual self. It's not a body that's separate from the self.
Сварупата е истинското себе. Това не е някакво тяло, което е отделно от себето.
In the material world, the body and the self are different.
Материалният свят има разлика между тялото и
душата. Do you follow?
Слушай.
In the material world, the body and the self are different.
Материалният свят, тялото и душата са различни.
But in the spiritual world, the body and the self are the same. So the Svarupa is the very self. It's not separate from the self.
А в духовния свят и тялото и душата са едно и също нещо. Така че Сварупата не е отделно.
That's why I would give the argument.
Затова аз
that the Atma cannot be really separated from the Svarupa.
Аз бих дал този аргумент, че Атмата всъщност не може да бъде разделена от Сварупата.
Therefore, the Svarupa must be within the Atma in a dormant state.
Затова Сварупата трябва да бъде в Атмата, в спящо състояние.
That's why I argue like that, because the Atma, we know, is 1/10,000 the tip of a hair. Very, not even, actually, Prabhupada explains, it's a geometric, in geometry there's what's called a point. It has no actual dimensions. It's simply a location. The soul is actually like a geometric point. It's very, you can't even measure it. It has no material dimensions whatsoever.
Шастрите се казва, че душата е една десетокилена от върха на косъма и това е нещо като в геометрията точката. Тя няма измерения, нали, дължина, височина.
So that Atma, and that is the actual self, and that self cannot be separate actually from the Svarupa. They are one and the same.
Тя истинското себе не може да се отдели от Сварупа, защото е едно и също нещо.
Therefore, I argue that the Atma, the Svarupa, must be in a dormant state within the Atma itself. That's my argument based on the philosophy.
Затова мой аргумент, който се основава на философията, че Сварупата се намира в Атмата.
Now how the Svarupa could be there? What would it be doing? Yes. Lying down, taking a nap or something?
Какво е тази Сварупа? Какво прави тя?
It's interesting. I'd like to see what the Shastric references for them. Okay, Vishnupriya Manaji.
I was just saying, can it be a misunderstood because it is also said that we have our Svarupa in the spiritual world where our real Svarupa means full-fledged form as a spiritual that we are going to be. But like position, we have our relationship position with Krishna in the spiritual world.
Of course, this is an interesting discussion because there was no time we actually left. No time that we returned because there's no time there. It means that actually we're really there yet. It means that actually we're already left. I mean, say we're already there, but we just don't realize it. That in that sense, the Svarupa would be there. We're already there, but we just don't realize it. So it's pretty, this stuff is pretty inconceivable because see, right now we're locked into the time and space concept. I wouldn't say that what you heard is wrong, but it's a very, you have to go to a very high level understanding to see how it's true. I can see the truth of it in the sense that we never even really leave the spiritual world. It's just a matter of thinking that we did. But what would the Svarupa be doing there this time? That was the question. Taking a nap or, you know?
It's just a glimpse.
What do we? That's the interesting question. Nodded out in the middle of the class. You know, we dream we were here, you know, in Bulgaria doing this and that. We wake up and realize that. So it's an interesting kind. I like to see him where he's written that, where to confirm it, how he stated it. And because I'm not saying it's wrong, it's just a very I can buy into it on a certain level. I could buy into it because actually we never really leave. It just appears. Prabhupada confirms this. I've read Prabhupada say like that. We didn't really leave. It just appears that we have left. So in that sense, the Sarup would still be there, and we're still there. It's just a matter of we don't realize it. We think we're somewhere else. So in that sense, I can accept the Sarup being in the spiritual world. But I'd like to see how, in what sense he explains it. So if you know where that is, kindly email me or drop by my room and show me in the book where he said that. I'm interested to see.
It was a lecture. A lecture, yeah.
I can see it, you know, and from one angle of vision, I can agree with that, yeah. But in terms, that's a very high level understanding of the fact that which is verified by Prabhupada, although we don't usually say like them. We say that we fell, and we did indeed fall, but in one sense, we didn't. So in that sense, a Sarup would still be in the spiritual world. So it's a very esoteric understanding, but I can see the truth of them. But as a general thing, a more exoteric understanding is we understand that we did fall from the spiritual world, and me and my Sarup are one and the same. They're not different. So in that sense, the Sarup would be bound up within the, you know, in a seed-like state within the Atma at the present time. So I can see that both, there's a way of seeing the truth of both of those statements. I'm not negating Sahotra Swami. He's very advanced in philosophical understanding. I'm saying there's a way to see that both concepts are true. That's what I'm saying. So, anything else?
I don't think so.
What is it?
Translation in Bulgarian.
Oh, the translation got lost. Oh boy, I just forgot about it. It was such an intense question. You want to summarize what I said?
That's what it is. No.
Too difficult?
Well,
too lengthy?
I don't know. I prefer to follow.
Накратко казвам, Сакшинато каза, че може да намери някакво основание в това, тъй като нали, онзи ден казахме, че всъщност от една гледна точка ние никога не сме падали в духовния свят, защото в духовния свят няма време и няма момент, в който да сме падали. Така че вижда основание и по-скоро може двете нали, нито едно да не е грешно, в смисъл, но време да са верни двете, но това е много висша. Висше ниво на реализация и е много езотерично. Но казва, че нали, има база това твърдение. Казва, че и двете могат да са верни. Казва, може би чудно нали, какво прави Сварупата през това време, докато ние сме тук. Мисля, с хората ми кажа, че това е просто едно микване с очите, просто докато мигне ми се случва цялата тази глупост.
Okay. We can stop here. Gantarad Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.
Jai Srimad Sankarsana Prabhu ki jai.